Senate Judiciary Committee will come to order. Let the record reflect that we now have a quorum. We have before us Senate File 1769, Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for calling this hearing. Madam Chair, what we're trying to do here in Senate File 1769 is give the Department of Labor and Industry authority to actually enforce the prevailing wage laws. And the engrossed copy you have of my bill is basically been negotiated and agreed to by everybody. And the reason we're here is because of the private party civil actions clause that's in the bill. I don't think it's a lot different than what was in the original statute, but you guys are the lawyers, so you can figure that out yourself. But like I said, everybody has agreed to do this. So.
Senator Tomasoni, do you have someone here to testify on behalf of the bill?
Only if you have questions, Madam Chair.
All right. Well, Senator Tomasoni, I think we do have questions.
Okay.
Can you, or maybe your witness, can speak to the changes on line 1.14 with the deletion of 177.35?
Yes, I can tell you that. What that is, 1.77.44 is MnDOT, and MnDOT already has the authority to police prevailing wage, and they already do it, so it wasn't necessary to go that far. So we went back to 1.77.435. It was a department suggestion because they didn't want to have to do MnDOT also, because MnDOT already has the authority. And that's the same thing down on line 1.19.
Okay. And then Senator Tomasoni, I understand from counsel that while the language is very much similar to other provisions in other parts of the statute, that on line 2.14, after employee, the whole phrase for and in behalf of the employee and other employees similarly situated, that's unusual, and that's a departure from what's in the statutes for other areas. Can you explain, or can you talk about the rationale for that? I think it is creating a class action opportunity here.
Let me see what I can get for you.
Welcome to committee. Please state your name and identify your organization for the record.
Madam Chair, my name is Richard Miller, and I'm an attorney for the Minnesota State Building and Construction Trades Council.
Can you spell your last name, please?
M-I-L-L-E-R.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
The language that you have pointed out does indeed create a right of a collective action. It is not a class action, but a collective action, and there is some similarity, but yet dissimilarity. So that, yes, that is new language, and it does create a collective action.
Well, Mr. Miller, what is collective action?
Well, we have under the prevailing wage law no enforcement provisions right now. We have under the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act and under Minnesota law a method for collecting unpaid wages by individuals. Those laws, both the state and the federal, do not have a provision for a class action, but they do permit a collective action. So you can have a collective action where you have people who are actually named and sue together. So you have to bring them in as part of the action. It is much different than a class action where you have some plaintiffs who are found by the court to represent the interests of a member of a large class. This is a collective action, which would be a smaller group of people. And they would have to be named and be part of the action.
And, Mr. Miller, the nature of a collective action, is that governed by any kind of rules of civil procedure, or is that covered by federal code?
Madam Chairman, it is not. It is a method that is used, though, in the Fair Labor Standards Act, where you have a group of plaintiffs. It is used in other cases where you do not have a certified class action, where you have a group of people who have common claims, who are individually named and actually participate in the action. So that's the difference between a class action.
Hmm. Ms. Pondius?
Madam Chair, members, I'm just noting on line 2.14 and 2.15. It's more the very last clause. It refers to other employees similarly situated. So it seems to go beyond a collective action. I know that language is not in the State Fair Labor Standards Act.
That is correct.
Mr. Miller?
That is not, Madam Chair, excuse me. That is correct, Madam Chair. That is not in the Fair Labor Standards Act.
So, Mr. Miller, if we were to strike everything after the first employee, namely strike and other employees similarly situated, and insert a period before the and, so that would read by any one or more employees for, and I guess we'll have to say on behalf of the employee, would that address your need for a collective action?
Madam Chair, it wouldn't address the need that I think we see, but if you can just let me chat with Senator Tomasoni for just a second.
Madam Chair?
Can I ask you a question?
Senator Shadd.
Madam Chair, on line 2.14, were you ending the sentence after the first employees or the middle singular employee?
Well, you can insert the period after the second employees at the end of the line.
Madam Chair, I think you might even be able to insert it after
and other
employees because it doesn't make sense. Right. Can be maintained against any contractor by any one or more employees.
Well, Senator Scheid, I take your point. But as I'm looking at the language here, we could probably achieve the same thing by ending with the first employees. So you can say by any one or more employees, which I mean, implies that. So that's why I asked about that new language, you know, after starting with four and going on to line 15. Mr. Miller, does stopping it after the first employees before the four, which is the new language, does that not do it for you in terms of being allowing more than one employees to be able to collectively act?
Madam Chair, after discussion with Senator Tomasoni, we would not object to the amendment that you propose.
So let me restate my new amendment. I apologize. Okay. If we insert the period on line 2.14,
yes.
After the first employees with an S, so between employees and four, we insert a period.
That's correct.
That's correct?
Yes, Madam Chair. That work?
Members, discussion? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Mr. Miller. And I guess I just wanted to make clear for my reason for supporting Senator Moy's amendment is a concern that I'm not even sure that this sentence is necessary because when you've given the remedy, I don't think you necessarily have to specifically state that you can then maintain an action. But I don't see any problem with it. But the rest of your sentence does imply more of a right to act on behalf of others, and it doesn't specify under what circumstances or make reference to any other statutes that would clarify exactly what type of collective / class action we're talking about. And so that makes me really uncomfortable because it doesn't talk about how you'd opt out from such an action or what would give someone the right or authority to act on behalf of other workers. So I'm comfortable if we ended at the end of the period at the end of employees. But I think then what we have done is we kind of have eliminated the collective action remedy that you were talking about.
Well, Senator Olson, in conversation with counsel, I don't think we did. That's why we stopped it there, because it says by one or more employees. So the or more employees addresses the collective action part, not the class action, but or more employees addresses the collective action.
But, Senator, Madam
Senator
Chair,
Olson,
But in that case, it would just be plaintiffs acting together, but it would not give anyone the right to act on behalf of someone else.
That's correct, Senator Olson. Okay. On that note, Senator Olson moves that on line 2.14 and 2.15, strike for and in behalf of the employee and other employees similarly situated. Any further discussions? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails. Members, any other points of for discussion on Senate File 1769? Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Tomasoni, in the summary, is this bill written in a narrow way to only focus on employers that provide value-added agricultural product processing? Is that what it's narrowed to?
I don't have a summary, but I don't think so. I think you may be looking at the wrong bill.
Well, Madam Chair, Section 1 and 2, maybe that's more Section 1 and 2 expanded.
Are you looking at 1769?
Yes.
Also includes another section.
Senator Limmer, Ms. Pontius, can you clarify the summary for us?
Yeah. Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, it does also include, there's a general provision, I think it's in 177.43, which is sort of a general state contract provision. What it doesn't include is 4.4, which is the state highway projects, because the Commissioner of Transportation forces those right now.
Madam Chair.
And there are provisions in 4.3 right now where labor and industry does have some enforcement powers, but this just clarifies what those enforcement powers are.
And Senator Limmer, the sections 1 and 2 of the summary is in reference to lines 1.14, where 177.35 is stricken and 177.435 is inserted, as well as down below. I think that's what it's trying to explain.
Senator Limmer, Madam Chair, the department wanted to have the ability to enforce prevailing wage law through everything with the exception of the Transportation Department, because the Transportation Department already has its own authority to do so. And so that's the reason for adding the 4.35.
Madam Chair,
Senator Limmer,
I came in just a minute or two after you began, Senator Tomasoni. Is the Commissioner of Labor and Industry, are they, and that department, are they in favor of your bill?
They actually
Senator Tomasoni.
Madam Chair, Senator Limmer, they actually proposed that language.
All right.
Any further discussions on Senate File 1769 as amended? Anybody here in the audience who would like to testify either for or against this bill? Seeing none, Senator Olson moves that Senate File 1769, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Senate floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Motion prevails.
Madam Chair,
congratulations.
Thank you very much. This was a very pleasurable event for me in front of the Judiciary Committee, because I've only been in front of the Judiciary one other time, and it wasn't as much
fun.
No.
Members, thank you, Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you.
Members, tomorrow, depending on when session ends, again, we'll try to see if we can meet 30 minutes after we either adjourn or recess on the floor. You have on the agenda today the proposed bills that will be on the agenda tomorrow. Seeing that we're going to have a couple of pretty busy, tough days this coming week, that's just the proposed agenda, and we like to start with number one and go down as much as we can. Where we cannot and we leave off, we'll just pick up the next day. We have, I think, room 112 or a room in the Capitol reserved Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If session goes too long, and meaning if session goes till 6 or 7, we might not meet at all. I just don't know. So I think for purposes of the public, we will post this, but we'll play it by ear. And I know this seems to be a lot, but I guarantee you that if we do a little bit of work here, once we come back from Easter break, it will be a lot saner. So thank you very much for making the time to come meet today, and we'll see you tomorrow. Committee's adjourned.